Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, wherever you may be. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and now joining us in studio is our newsman, Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, guys, we went to the break, and you came into the studio, and Ed and I took a break and went
That's
out, and
right.
I got some more coffee.
There you go.
They ever determine coffee's bad for you, I'm in trouble. That's all I got to say. I don't want to know about it, okay? Somebody had brought some, one of our staff members, who I don't know.
You don't know the staff?
I don't know who brought the little
right.
cupcakes.
Yeah, right.
There's some little cupcakes out there.
Yeah.
There were.
In the little kitchen just down the hall.
Kitchen down the hall. There's about a little box that looked like to me about 12 little
right.
cupcakes. I'm talking about the mini cupcakes.
One bite.
Okay. So there were two left. All right.
Oh.
Now, there's a lot of people who work here, so, you know, it's not surprising. But I looked on the back. I confess I look at calories now.
Yes, I do.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to.
You have to.
Otherwise, you end up.
Unless you don't care. You get home at night and you've already used up 2,000 calories.
And you don't
calories.
Care long enough, it shows. Okay.
So the little mini cupcakes.
Well, somebody torn the calorie sign off.
Oh, that's not right.
I think they just try to say, if I don't see it, it isn't real. It's kind of like covering your head at night.
I've told myself that. And the next morning, guess what's real? The scale.
Right.
The scale doesn't care what you said.
Anyway, I wanted to see, you know, how many of my daily calories am I taking up with this? If I do take one of these little mini cupcakes, and I'm going to guess they'd be 100. They had some icing.
That's probably 150.
On top.
Yeah, with the icing, that's pure sugar.
So you do the sort of the...
I always look at the calories.
I don't have a calculator in my hand.
Right.
I just sort of mentally do it because it really, as you get older, you have to watch, you know, you can put on a lot of pounds in a short period of time.
Yes, so it's unfair, totally unfair the way that works.
But I
will say this, the problem with those little mini cupcakes, is you may say, well, at least it's not a big cupcake, but guess what? You eat that one little cupcake and your brain... We were talking about the devil in the last segment. The devil whispers in your brain, it's only a little cupcake. You can have two.
And there is two.
And there
Or there
two.
Are two.
Yep.
Whatever the right verb is there.
So
there are two.
There are two.
Maybe they'll be gone when we get off the show.
Don't even walk down
that way. I didn't get it because it doesn't even have the calorie count.
We get out of here at the end of the show, take a right.
Too close to lunch.
Don't go down there.
I'm not. I already had popcorn, whatever that.
According to the internet, which is never wrong.
Are we giving a mini cupcake calorie count update?
A mini cupcake from Walmart, which is what I'm assuming these are, about 93 calories.
Hmm.
Yeah, right around.
You were right on.
You round that up to 100.
Yep.
So how many do you, not to get too personal, how many do you try to stay under for a day? 24 hour period.
Under 2,000.
That's for a male in the 60s, I think I read that, you know. You burn about 2,000 calories a day naturally.
Yes.
You can just sit there and stare at a TV. And you can burn 2,000 calories. Amazing.
Especially if my team's losing.
Hey, if you get
That's
up
my exercise plan right there.
And if you get up and go to the refrigerator,
well,
you might burn 2,050.
That's right.
Calories. So
I heard a comedian say, I'm not even sure who it was. It was a clean comedy.
Right.
He said, I'm just going to tell you how bad it's getting for me in terms of being in shape. He said, but I was watching a football game and they kicked off to the other team and I went to the refrigerator to get something to drink. And by the time I walked back to my chair, that guy had already run 100 yards in the time it took me to walk to the refrigerator and come back. He said, I am so slow. I just thought that was funny.
So football players are known for their 40s.
Yeah.
40-yard dashes of 4.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
So this guy ran a five-minute refrigerator dash.
It's totally understandable that a football player would beat you
into
the end zone, but it was funny. He said, all I did was walk to the refrigerator and back, and this guy ran 100 yards, he said, with other guys trying to stop him. He still beat me.
Sometimes my wife tries to stop me going to the refrigerator.
So 100 calories.
The dog blocks four
for a one-bite cupcake.
One bite.
It's 100 calories.
100 calories.
All right. I got you. So theoretically, I could have 20 of those in a day and not gain a pound.
Not a thing. And sit and watch TV.
Your arteries would probably scream out, what are you trying to do to us? But anyway. All right, Steve, what's your first?
And that is our nutrition moment.
Okay, we got
American Family Radio.
Spain, Portugal, and parts of France are, as we speak, trying to pull out of a catastrophic power failure.
Seriously? I've heard of this.
No,
when did this happen?
Yeah, this broke.
This is breaking news.
So a nationwide power outage in Spain, nationwide in Portugal, and parts of France, and everything went down. No trains, no planes. Hospitals. No hospitals are on generators. No cell phones, networks. Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is going ongoing right now.
They're recovering from it. Yeah. They're
are they back up?
Not yet. Not all together, as far as I know.
Yeah.
They're still.
How do you say preppers in Spanish?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Because they're saying who's laughing now.
This Spanish power grid. I'm looking at a story on CNN.
Wow.
Spanish power grid operator Red Eléctrica. I'm guessing that's the name of the company and not the guy who does it. Said power is starting to return, but earlier it said restoring power could take between 6 and 10 hours.
How long was it off?
I don't know. Let me see if I
guess it was sometime in the morning.
Yeah, mid-morning is when it, at local time, is when
a few hours.
Yeah.
A few hours. Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned what countries were affected?
Spain and Portugal, all of the Iberian Peninsula. And parts of France, which I'm assuming southern France.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, that's a warning.
Yeah.
That I think we all have in the back of our mind, we have a fear that kind of thing could happen to us in the U.S. And I'm not talking because of a hurricane or an earthquake or something like that. I'm talking about a cyber attack. By another country.
Or an EMP.
Or an EMP, which tell folks what that is.
Electromagnetic pulse, which could be triggered by a nuclear detonation up in the atmosphere.
Right.
Or an EMP. An EMP one is the nuclear bomb without the bomb. It's just...
if a nuclear device detonates, usually it's just above a city... And then you get that fireball. You get the shockwave and the fireball, heat, radiation, all that. But if you detonate it, I forget how far up, whatever it is, like a mile above the city, the electromagnetic pulse fries the grid. And it could knock out the entire eastern seaboard or the entire Midwest.
It would be an act
Midwest.
Of war.
Would be devastating.
And you have to wonder. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear all of Spain and all of Portugal and parts of France are completely shut down. You think,
Yeah.
But if
they're restoring power this quickly, it's not an EMP.
But they're not at war.
No one's saying
Portugal never goes to war.
By the way, if it was an EMP, you think someone would have noticed an atomic bomb?
Right.
Going off.
Stuff is falling out of the sky here, but we're not sure what's going on.
Well, plus an EMP, when it fries, when it fries the grid, the power grid, there's no easy fix of that. You don't just go, plug a few things back in. All that stuff has to be, if it's not in a supply closet somewhere, you've got to replace all that, and it could take years. Worst case.
There's one element of our daily lives that I think we all take for granted. That if you had a power grid go out for even a day or two or three, it would It would be really bad. I'm just getting simple with my language here. You know what that would be? It would be red lights.
Oh yeah, all of the things that we take for granted.
Traffic lights.
Your refrigerator no longer works. Your food spoils. You can't charge phones. I'm not talking to play games on it. You can't communicate with anyone.
But I was just thinking the other day. I was driving down the road, and I thought, you know what? We all depend on this traffic light to protect our lives.
Yeah.
And now I know. We don't think anything about driving through intersections based on whether the light's green or yellow.
Yeah.
And, I'm just saying that you talk about something that's a necessity of life, especially in, urban areas, that you don't really think about too much, but we've all known when the power goes out, people stop at four lights. People do comply, but it's still dangerous when you have that happen.
Probably the first guy wouldn't know if it just out.
That's true. All right, next story.
Hey, I want to talk about something that, as a reporter, has kind of bugged me for a while. Maybe it's bugged you guys, too. You ever notice when you're listening to some networks and they go to talk about something going on in Central America, the reporter will go, and down in Guatemala, or El Salvador...
You mean they change up?
They have the accent.
They try to say it with an accent.
Well, Rob Finnerty, who's on Newsmax, noticed this too. Cut 12.
Every time we hear a Hispanic name on TV, whether or not the anchor is Hispanic, we suddenly have to shapeshift into a perfect Hispanic accent. Police arrested 25-year-old Ilan Alain Sanchez. And I mean that honestly. Why do we do that? When I say Alejandro Mayorkas, I just say Alejandro Mayorkas. But on CNN, it's Alejandro Mayorkas. I'm Irish. When police arrest someone with an Irish name, I don't say police just arrested 25-year-old Charlie McLaughlin. I just say police arrested Charlie McLaughlin. Like, stop that. Stop.
That's funny, because that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't bug me as a reporter.
They don't do the Lucky Charms accent if it's somebody who's Irish.
I think it's just trying to be PC.
Yeah,
trying to be politically correct and pronounce a foreign name in a way that is respectful.
I love the Spanish language. It's a beautiful language. I just like saying stuff in it.
like what
stuff?
Like stuff. Can we have some more cheeps?
More cheeps.
you and AOC and was it Hillary that did that?
No, some more cheeps.
That's my one. I have a story on that, but I've told it before. Nobody wants to hear it.
No, we do. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Well, I was out, and for those of you who have heard this before, and I know some of you have, I was out. This is before my kids were married, but they were grown. I think my daughter's in college. My son was in high school. So my wife and I, the four of us, are at a Mexican restaurant, our favorite Mexican restaurant in the town we live, Pontotoc, Muy Pueblo, okay? And I have always had a bad habit. I got this from my dad. When I'm around a foreign accent, I slip into the accent without knowing it. And so the waiter came by and took our order, and I said to the waiter, could you please bring some more cheeps? And he left, and my wife and kids were looking at me like I had just coughed up a hairball. And I said, what? And they said, you asked for more cheeps. I said, no, I did not. They all three of them said, yes, you did.
You did.
And it was unintentional. I wasn't trying to do it, but I had slipped into that.
Mm.
Please bring some more cheeps.
That's funny.
If that waiter is listening now.
Right, right. You tip well, though.
I do.
You did give him a tip, right?
I'm a tip.
A good tip.
Good tip.
A good tip.
You want a tip? Bring me some more cheeps.
I mean no cheeps. No disrespect. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Go ahead,
Steve.
Move on. Next
All story. Right. We're learning new details about the horrific crash between that Army helicopter and passenger plane outside of Reagan National Airport a month or so ago. And what we're learning... from audio recordings and such, is that the helicopter was at risk, at fault. The pilot of that helicopter, a woman, was being re-rated. In other words, every so often you have to fly a plane with an instructor just to make sure that you're current. She had some 5,000 hours in this helicopter. She was not a new pilot.
Right.
And apparently what happened is the control tower told them there's a passenger jet in your area. And the pilot said, can we go by visual reckoning? In other words, we want to look at it. We want to see it and avoid it with our eyes instead of you telling us altitudes and everything. And yeah, generally that happens. They did tell this pilot to about 30 seconds, I think, before the crash to bank or to go a different direction.
The helicopter pilot.
Helicopter pilot didn't do it. And then we all saw what happened. The accident happened. So sad, but that's what we're learning about this this crash.
Well, the speeds you're talking about, especially the passenger jet, and being over, being over a major city like that. We were talking about that in our story meeting this morning. Don't know how wise that is. I guess you have to be trained if you're going to fly over a major metropolitan area to know how to do that. But
well, if your helicopter base and so some of the military bases I've seen, for example, we mentioned the raid in Colorado Springs. I lived there for a while. There are military bases all over the place. The Air Force has Peterson Air Force Base, and they share an airport with Colorado Springs International Airport. In other words, it's divided in half. Half of the airport is the military, and the other half is civilian. So it's kind of hard in that point to avoid the area because it's your area. But,
Well, that is sad. Anytime you hear about, pilot error, it's sad because you want to say, well, if only, but complicated machinery, high speeds or whatever, those things happen. So
also, like Fred's pointed out before, if you look at this, if you ever want to look at something and be amazed, this flight tracker.
Yeah. Yeah.
All over the U.S., you know, there are hundreds and hundreds, well, maybe 1,000 or more planes in the air at the same time, crisscrossing the United States, small, large aircraft. I mean,
it gives me a headache just looking at it.
Yeah, but it's a miracle that no more accidents happen than do.
Well, on Flight Tracker, every plane looks like they're the size of New Jersey.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes it all
a lot of space out there. This is a huge country. That's what Europeans say when they come and visit for vacation and everything. They cannot believe how massive this country is because, of course, in Europe, when you have power, you can cross a country by train in an hour or two.
Yeah, my understanding is sometimes people will come to this country and they'll say, all right, we're going to spend one day in New York, and then we're going to spend. Then the next day we're going to D.C., and then the next day we're going to go to Disney World. And people are going, do you know? And they're driving.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how far Disney World is from?
They have no clue.
Yeah.
So a lot of space.
And then we're going to drive to the Grand Canyon.
That's right.
No, you're not.
All right. Hey, well, we've been talking a little bit about artificial intelligence and its potential for good and bad.
See, we've picked on the Democrats party enough this morning. I don't think you need to keep on bashing them.
Artificial intelligence. That's
yes,
funny.
Get it. Well, there's a researcher named Jeffrey Hinton. By the way, he just won the Nobel Prize in Physics. I listened to him. He says, I'm not a physicist. I don't know why they chose. He says, I'm a philosopher who has his head in tech. But
they never did contact me.
No.
I entered my project.
Yeah.
Your science project?
It was a physics project, and I sent it in, and I never heard back from them. You telling me now they've already announced the winner?
And it wasn't even
I didn't even
physicist.
Get the courtesy of a you didn't, you finished third. Or
it wasn't even a physicist.
Honorable,
lost to a non-physicist.
Honorable mention? Yeah. Nothing? Nothing. Okay. So the guy, I lost to a guy who isn't even a physicist.
No, no. Just
that's, unfair.
Yeah, he's a philosopher who goes into
go ahead.
Tech. Anyway,
sorry.
He was talking on CBS Saturday morning, and his name is Jeffrey Hinton. And he was, I'm going to have you listen to I didn't put her name. This is Savannah Guthrie, I think, and Jeffrey Hinton talking about AI and its potential. And so let's hear cut 10, 11.
He believes there is a 10 to 20% chance that AI, artificial intelligence, will take over humanity, and big tech is failing to get a hold of it.
The best way to understand it emotionally is we're like somebody who has this really cute tiger cub. It's just such a cute tiger cub. Unless you can be very sure that it's not going to want to kill you when it's grown up.
10 to 20% chance that artificial intelligence eventually takes control from humans.
As a 66-year-old man, I'm good with those odds. you know what? I'll be gone by the time it takes over. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I have kids and grandkids.
Right.
Listen, I'm at the same time, I'm looking at a story where this is from Fox News. Billionaire business magnate Elon Musk declared in a post on X that robots will outmatch surgeons in a matter of years. He says robots will surpass good human surgeons within a few years and the best human surgeons within about 5 years. So yeah. This is one of those things where I don't know if that's true or not. He's smarter than I am, but where AI could be a wonderful thing for humanity, or it could take us over and enslave the human race.
Yeah.
And to the point that's being made in your story, Steve, people need to pay attention to this threat and take steps to prevent it. That's what the person's saying.
Now, you know, kind of ironically, what the biggest hindrance to AI is? It's computing power. They have to have so many computers to run an artificial, the farms of them. And they're building, Musk is building a huge data center just to hold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of computers to do his AI. And so they say that if it got to the point where it was like controlling people, it would take the output of half of our energy use in the United States would go to that. We can't do that. No one's going to do that. So that's going to kind of put a little brake on it.
Listen, I also did a science project with Tim's
the volcano about. Thing?
Yeah, the volcano. No, I had a potato and I just let it grow little strands out of it. No, listen. So this is completely non-scientific.
Yeah.
Belief that I have read a lot about this is from a science fiction perspective because well anyway that's not important, but so let me just say this, I question what they're saying about AI taking over. I think all of that is built upon the belief that the human brain is a machine, and it's not, and I'm not sure that AI can make that jump and become self-aware. And
yeah, because somebody has to program the AI.
Well, the point of AI is it takes what you program it and it builds on it.
And it begins to program itself.
Yeah.
So you had the potato project?
The potato project. You know, it has, all the eyes.
I did the papier-mâché volcano. I was worried that you did that too.
No idea why you didn't get a Nobel Prize for that.
Well, I want the Nobel people to send me my volcano back and the baking soda.
That's right.
Okay, because I need it. That's all right. See you tomorrow, everybody.